I'd like to start a new little series on my YouTube channel here and create a new playlist. The title would be Misunderstood Texts of the New Testament. I want to look at some of the misunderstood texts of the New Testament, just a few of them, ones that are commonly misquoted, misinterpreted, and so on. These texts, these scripture verses have come up again and again over the years by various people. I see it constantly also on Twitter, verses quoted out of their context, misinterpreted, and so on, by real Christians. And so I would like to look at several of these, not a lot of them. Today I want to look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 17. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Let me just apologize also about my lighting here in my study. One of my listeners said that I get a bit of a glory glow off of my bald head here. There's not much I can do. I got overhead lighting. If I turn it off, then it's too dark. I've tried different arrangements. I can't seem to get it the way I want it. So just bear with me on that. I guess the important thing is not what I look like. It's the voice, what I'm saying. So Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily or truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no wise or in no way at all pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, this verse is quoted by many in an effort or an attempt or as a proof text to show that the believer is still under the law and obliged to the old covenant or to the Ten Commandments. As being authoritative in their life, as being subject to them. Of course, it's a big subject, and I'm not going to answer every point on that, but we know from Paul's teaching that the believer is not under the law. Not only just the ceremonial law, but it was actually the so-called moral law that slew Paul. We see this in Romans chapter 7, that thou shalt not covet was what slew him, he says, there in his own personal experience. It wasn't the fact that he didn't offer animal sacrifices perfectly. It was the moral law, actually, that slew him. And some will say that we're not under the law for justification, but we're under the law for sanctification. Well, that's not correct either. It sort of lowers the whole standard of Christianity when we look at it that way. We're in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. Christ is our righteousness. And practical sanctification comes through that, through the power of the Spirit, having our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. And there he's speaking to those who are believers, those who have already been justified. So I just want to put that out of the way. So just so you know where I'm coming from, I don't believe or accept that the believer is under the law, but we are under the system of grace, under the system of the Spirit. So when we, in that light, take up this passage, when the Lord Jesus said, think that I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets, I am not come to destroy but fulfill. People wrench this out of the context here. First of all, he's speaking to the Jewish people. He's not speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to Gentiles. He's speaking to the Jewish believers of the day. That's one point. The second point is that he says, think that I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy or fulfill. He speaks here both of the law and the prophets. Some just focus on the law. You see, the Lord said, this is the argument, the Lord said he didn't come to destroy the law, so therefore the law is fully in effect for the believer, that we still have to keep the law, that we're under the law, and this type of thing. But that's not what the Lord's saying. He says, think that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. When he says the law and the prophets, that's a much bigger thing than just the law. That's a much bigger thing than just the Ten Commandments. The law and the prophets is a term, it's an expression that was used by the people of that day, and maybe even still today amongst some Jewish people, an expression that describes the whole Bible, or at least the whole, what we call the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Sometimes it's described as the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Here, the Lord's just speaking of the law and the prophets. It's an expression to describe the Bible as it existed in that day. You know, the Lord said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, I believe it is, chapter 16, verse 16, he says that John the Baptist was until the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, there we see has a certain terminal, sort of an end. But I only express that to show that, or point that out, to show that it's an expression to describe the Old Testament system. The whole thing is described as the law and the prophets. So the Lord's not just speaking here of the Ten Commandments or the law, the whole thing. And that's important. Because the Lord is saying that he didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill it. Now, if you happen to have the Darby translation, he says in a footnote, what that word in the Greek means is to give the fullness of something, to fill it out to the full. That's the idea. It's not just simply obedience to certain commandments, although there's no doubt that the Lord Jesus in his life personally fulfilled all the commandments of the law. There's no question of that at all. But what the Lord is saying here is something much bigger than that. It's to give the fullness of the law and the prophets, or to fulfill them to the full. Now, if you look in your Bible in Romans chapter 3, we have a verse there that sort of helps us understand this a little bit. Romans chapter 3, where he's describing justification by faith as opposed to the works of the law. Paul says in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the true purpose of the law, is the knowledge of sin. It was also to point us to the Messiah. We get that in Galatians chapter 3, that it was the schoolmaster that up till the coming of Messiah had pointed him out. But he says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, that is justification by faith, without the law, or apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, the law and the prophets were a witness. They pointed to that what was coming. They pointed to Christ, right? And he fulfilled, and he filled out all that the law and the prophets have said. This is important. It's in the Lord Jesus himself. But it's not completely finished yet, although his crosswork laid the foundation for that work, or for that fulfillment. Yet there's still things to be fulfilled. There's still prophecies to be fulfilled. They'll be all fulfilled in Christ. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, right? He's the Yea and the Amen of the prophets, of the prophecies, and of the Word of God. It's in his person that they're all fulfilled. But there's still events and things that will happen in connection with the fulfillment of this. But the Lord Jesus laid the groundwork. It's fulfilled in his person. So when he says, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets, this is not putting the Christian under the Old Testament law, but it's showing that his purpose in coming was not to set aside that, but rather to give the fulfillment of it. I think it's pretty simple to understand, right? I think it's pretty clear. In fact, until all come to pass, not even one jot or one tittle, the King James has, the jot, or the yod, really, is the smallest letter. The letter is called the yod, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the tittle is like a stroke, you know. Just like in English, we have like an E and an F. And that extra stroke at the bottom of the F changes it into an E. And so in the Hebrew alphabet, you get a little stroke that will change the letter and make it into another letter. He says the smallest point will be fulfilled, will come to pass, will be accomplished. And that's another thing. When we come to verse 18, to all be fulfilled, that's a different word in the Greek than we have in verse 17, where verse 17 speaks of being fulfilled to the full. But here, it has the idea of accomplishment, or of coming to pass. Now, I have a note here on my tablet from a bit of a paraphrase of this. I don't always go with paraphrases, but in this case, it's helpful. He says, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. That's it. He came to accomplish the purpose that had been written in both the law and the prophets. Now, we see from verse 19, the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments shall teach men to do so. He shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, the Lord is showing, too, that he's not relieving men, as it stood in that day, of in any way, releasing them from their obligation to keep the law. You know, they try to always catch the Lord in contradictions. He, you know, if he would show mercy to someone when they should have been stoned according to the law, they would point out, oh, he's not really fulfilling the law, he's not keeping the law, he's being disobedient to the law. But that was not the case at all. He's the fulfillment of it. He fills it out to the full, and yet will do so. And the law is still in effect as for man in the flesh, as obligated to it. And it's to show man that he cannot please God, that he's fallen short of the glory of God, that he's a sinner. We see that in 1 Timothy 1:17, or is it 1 verse 7? It's in chapter 1 in 1 Timothy that that the law wasn't for the righteous man, but the law is for the sinner and for the disobedient one. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. But for the Christian, it's clear that we are not under the law because we have died. We have died to the law. We have passed out from under it because we are no longer in Adam. We're no longer in the flesh. And so we get in Romans chapter 7, Paul says in verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law. I should actually read it from the Darby translation because the King James is not correct here. But now we are clear from the law, having died in that which we were held. The King James makes it look like the law has died, but what Paul is saying here is that we have died. So the law has no force over a dead man. And so we have died, and we've risen in Christ and are married to another, even the risen one. And so we have a new law, the law of the Spirit. Well, as I said, it's a big subject. But the point here in Matthew chapter 5 is not, the Lord is not telling us that we are under the law, Christians. He's saying he has come to fulfill all that the law and the prophets have said. Not only that, he is himself the fulfillment of all that the law and the prophets have pointed to. Amen.